Matthew chapter 28, if you're going to use the Pew Bible, Matthew chapter 28 is going to be on page 835 of your Pew Bible. So the song that Mitchell played was, "Were you there when they crucified my Savior, when they crucified my Son?" And the answer is, you and I were. We were all there. We were there when they tortured Jesus. We were there when they nailed those hands into the cross. We were there when he cried out those last words. We were there when he gave up the ghost, when he passed away, when he died for our sins. And you say, "I wasn't there, I didn't see it." But yet we were there, because it was for us that it happened that day. Now, if it had ended that Friday, oh, what a terrible day that would have been. But there was Sunday, and it was coming. And that was, oh, what a day. And so this morning, we're going to talk about that Sunday. But before we do, we need to go back in time to Good Friday. And we need to think about what that must have been like. Here's a painting that was painted nearly 100 years ago. And it's called The Return from Calvary. And as you look at this picture, I think he has Mary and Mary Magdalene and John and some others, and they're walking back. They're leaving Calvary behind. In the background, you see this darkness, and it's a terrible, sad thing. And I think sometimes it's hard for us to understand what that must have been like for them, how difficult it must have been. They had so much hope. They looked at Jesus. They had placed their faith in him. They expected things to turn out far differently than they did. And then when they watched him crucified there that day, they walked back and they must have been dejected. They must have been saddened. And they must have been people who had no hope. Have you ever felt that way? I want you to think a little bit about what went through their minds, how they felt. And if you've ever been in a situation where someone passed away, and especially like you had to go to the hospital and they passed away there and you came back to the house afterwards, I think that's the way they felt. Several weeks ago, I was at a hospital. It's a hospital I don't go to all that much, but I was visiting someone, and it just happened to be the hospital that Lynn's father had died in a couple of years ago. And for some reason, I found myself on the floor, that very floor where he was at. And my mind went back, over here's the waiting room, and we were ushering Mitchell and Mackenzie back and forth. And over here's this area, and I remember it well because they had me called the funeral home that night, which I thought was kind of strange. All those memories came flooding back, and then the way you felt when we came home and we went into the house here, and how it just felt so hopeless almost. They felt that day, but so many times more. And immediately after someone dies like that, you feel worn out, you feel tired, you don't know what to do. But then you kind of get your bearings a little bit the next day. Then you kind of get ready for the funeral. And for them, they buried Jesus that very day, that Friday, because that's the way the Jews did things. But as you think about the context of it, it's a bit like us going to a funeral. They started going that Sunday morning to go there to the grave site to put some things out, to put some ointment out, and it was a way of kind of looking forward to that, and it was a way of, how we like to say, to have some closure. And so as they're walking along the way and they're heading to the grave, they're saddened, but they've got their bearings about them a little bit. They're starting to feel like, okay, we can kind of go on. And that brings us to chapter 28 of Matthew in verse 1, where it says, "After the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it." Here's another painter's rendition I'll show you here, where he's sitting on this particular stone. But I want you to think about how things happen, so it seems, when you've got an earthquake, and how this particular event began with an earthquake. The Bible says, behold, there was a great earthquake. And so when you think about things happening in the Bible, when there's an earthquake, often something big is transpiring. Now, what's going on here? Different scholars say, well, it's an earthquake. It's a way of showing, hey, Jesus is risen from the grave. Some people say that actually the rolling of the stone is part of the whole earthquake. I don't know. But what I do know is there was an earthquake, and I know that there was an angel there, the scripture says, sitting on the rock. The passage that Jay read a moment ago talked about how two angels were there. And so you say, well, which is correct? Well, both of them. This is from Matthew's perspective, and he's noting really the one angel, but Luke, who's probably writing from Mary's perspective, noticed that there wasn't just one there, there was another there. There were two. Now, the scripture says in verse 3 that his, and this would be probably be both of them, his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. This was an astonishing thing. Verse 4 says, and fear of him fell on the guards, and they trembled because they were like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. You ever seen angels? Don't raise your hand or don't say anything out loud. I suspect most of us have not. They do exist. They are all around us. But we tend not to see them. If we did, it would certainly get our attention. They saw the angels that day, and it shocked them. And to get a feeling of how shocking all this was, think about how shocking it was for the guards. This is a painting James Tissot painted some little over 100 years ago, and he's trying to depict how the guards could not move. They were frozen in place. Have you ever been so frightened you couldn't move? People that have been in combat sometimes have described a situation where they've seen things. Maybe it was an improvised explosion that went off and they could not move, or where they saw something and for a minute they could hardly move. And then sometimes they could move, but it was like it took everything within their being to allow them to move their hands and to move their arms and so forth. A firefighter a couple of years ago was talking to me about something like this, and he says this guy who had served in Vietnam, he was an air show. He and his whole team one day, as firefighters often are, they were there just in case something bad happened, and that day something bad did happen. One of the planes crashed out there on the asphalt, and it was a horrible thing. And this man who was the fire chief, he was over these guys, he immediately jumped into action, immediately tried to do what he could to get this plane out, to get the fire out, because there are all these people there at the air show. And he said he looked behind him and he noticed that the young guys were just frozen and they were just watching and they were staring at the body of the pilot. And he said, you got to get going, you got to get moving. And he noted, he thought the reason he was in action was because he'd been there before. He had been in those situations before. They'd never seen anything like that. They froze. These Roman soldiers, when they saw that angel that day, they froze. And you say, oh, they're like these young firefighters who had never seen such a thing. Oh, no. They were Roman soldiers. They were the toughest of the tough. They had seen all kinds of things. They had probably seen a lot of combat. They had probably been in some really terrible situations. But what they saw that day with those angels was like nothing they had ever seen before. And they froze just like dead men. It's a phenomenon that we see from time to time, but we see it happen here in this situation with these particular fellows. Why is it? Because it was a frightening sight. It was a frightening sight to see the angels, to have the earthquake, to see the stone roll back. It was the thing that was hard for one to process, and so they trembled, verse 4 says, like dead men. But it's interesting. The angel looked at the women and he said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Are you afraid this morning? What is it that frightens you? Sometimes we're frightened by worry about what could happen with our health Could I get sick? Could I get into a situation where I could not support my family? And sometimes we get frightened and we worry about things like that. Sometimes we're frightened or we're worried about losing a loved one, someone that's really close to us. What if I lost my child? What if I lost my spouse? What if someone that I really cared about, what if they died? How would I get through that? We're frightened about that. Some of us are frightened that someone may abandon us, someone that we're close to, a friend, our spouse, they could take off, they could leave us, and what would we do? How would we be? Some of us are worried that we may go to work tomorrow, that our employer may look at us and they may say, I don't need you anymore. You know, what happened here makes it where we don't have to be so frightened. It would be bad to lose your job or lose your health or lose wealth or a loved one. All that would be bad. But you know that it's different because of the words that are written here. Look at verse 6. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said, come and see the place where he lay. No matter what happens to you, no matter what, you can get through it because of those words, he is risen. Paul wrote long ago, this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So you and I can go through some hard times. We can have some people that are close to us that can pass away or can even abandon us. And it will hurt. It will be painful. But because He is risen, one day we will be there with the Lord in heaven and it will all seem like nothing. It will seem like a distant memory. Think about this to yourself. You ever go back in time and you ever think about like a friendship that went bad or some little girl or some little boy that broke your heart and you think back and say, well, whoo, that seems like forever ago. Isn't it something how hurtful that was at the time and how I can't hardly remember it today? One day when you're in heaven, when you're with the Lord, all the pain that we've gone through on this earth will seem like nothing because of the glory, because of the things that we see there in heaven. We worry about death. We worry about passing away. Should I pass away, what would happen to my family? What would happen to my children? And it's kind of hard. It's kind of scary just to think about what that would be like to pass from this life to the next. But because He is risen, He will raise us again one day. The psalmist writes, this David, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Because He is risen, you can be lying in a hospital room and you can have your life slipping away from you and you can know it is going to be okay. God is here holding my hand. God who raised Jesus, God will raise me. One day if I place my faith in Him, He will walk me through the valley of the shadow of death. We can have comfort in that. I'll tell you though, probably most of us don't worry so much about our own death. We worry about the death of others. And really, as we think about our lives, I suspect most of our thoughts are dominated by people that we've lost or perhaps fear of people that we might lose. And because He is risen, He helps us through that too. Jesus, as He talks about Him going away, Him being crucified shortly, in John 14, He says, when that happens, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. So I'm going to go away from you. I'm going to pass away. They don't get it yet, but He's describing Calvary. I'm going to pass away on that Good Friday. I will suffer. I will die, but you're going to be okay. I am not going to leave you alone. I am going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And so no matter how bad a loss may be that you and I might experience, everywhere we go, every step we take, the Holy Spirit is within our hearts. If we're His, He's within our hearts and He walks with us and He goes along the way. In verse 18, He promises, I will never leave you nor I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So you may feel lonely, but you can put your hand out and you can say, the Lord Jesus is here with me. Yes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is with me. Yes, even though I may feel lonely late at night, He is with me. He is in my heart and He goes with me every step of the way because He is risen. What do you do with what we have heard in this passage? Go back and look at verse 6 again. It says, He is not here, for He is risen. Come see the place where He lay. Those are important words as well. Come see the place where He lay. Sometimes people look at us and say, you guys are wasting your time. Really? Some people get up and go to a sunrise service. You're here at this service. People say, you know, you could be in bed. You know, you could be at the IHOP. You could be doing so many other things. Why are you here? They look at you and they say those kinds of things. Because He's risen, they say, well, you're just believing a fairy tale. It's not true. You ever notice how someone who lies to you never wants you to examine the situation? Go buy a used car sometime and ask the salesman if you can bring your mechanic along. Oh, no. You don't need to bring a mechanic along and look at this car. You don't need to do that. This guy just stopped by a minute ago. He wants to buy it. He's going to get his cash. He's coming back anytime. If you go get your mechanic, this car is probably going to be gone. You go to a jeweler and they want to sell you some jewelry, you know, and you're like, hey, could I have someone come and take a look? No, I don't know if it's going to be ready. I don't know if it'll be here when you get back. When people are trying to pressure you to do something, or when something isn't true, they don't want you to examine the evidence. Think about that for a bit. Come and see the place where He lay. He didn't say He's risen, go your way. He said, I want you to look here. I want you to look, and I want you to see where the body was. I want you to see where Jesus was, and I want you to note He isn't there anymore. He wanted to get that across to them. He wanted them to examine the evidence, and they did. He is not here, verse 6 says, for He is risen. Come and see the place where He lay. Verse 7, then go quickly and tell the disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He is going before you to Galilee. There you will see Him. See, I have told you. Now here's the thing. When we look and we examine the evidence, we're called upon to make a decision. And we're called upon either to accept the evidence that is there or to reject that evidence. We're called upon to do something with what we have seen and what we have heard. And so He tells them that day, verse 7, go quickly and tell the disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He is going before you to Galilee. There you will see Him. See, I have told you. This is the greatest story that has ever been told. But I hesitate to call it a story. It's news. It's an event that really took place. And so He says, your job is, your instructions are to go and to tell people. Go and tell people how your life was and how it is now. Jesus is risen. You're different because of that. He's taken you. He's changed you. Things are different for you. So some people look at this story and they say, oh, this is wonderful. But they never do anything with it. They never respond. And they just kind of go through life and they sleepwalk through life and they've got the most important information that we've ever received and they never do anything with it. The response that we need to have is to take this message and let it change us. Let it change how we live our lives. So we get up tomorrow morning and we're hurting a little bad. The arthritis has come upon us. We're a little bit worried over our job. We're a little bit depressed because we've lost someone that we love, that loved us. Our response is we have Christ. He lives. the person. They had Christ. They'll live again. I may have trouble today, but I have Christ, and I will live forever because of that. And so I go forth in obedience to Him, and I do what I can to tell others and to spread the gospel about what Jesus has done for me and what He has done for them. Verse 8 says, they departed quickly. They didn't drag around. They were like folks that had a couple of espressos in them. They get running off. They're going from the tomb. And the Bible says they have fear and great joy. Isn't that a little odd? How do you have fear and how do you have joy? And you know, sometimes in the Bible, fear doesn't mean like, oh no, fear. It means like respect. It means like awe. They understood they had been in the presence of something wonderful. They had an understanding of what had happened, and that permeated within their lives all kinds of joy. Last part of verse 8 says, they ran to tell His disciples. And as they run, you can know they were never the same again. They didn't leave the tomb the way they had approached the tomb. And that's what happens to us when the truthfulness of what happened that day gets into our mind. Verse 9 says, as they're going along, behold, Jesus meets them, and He says, greetings. And they came up, and they took hold of His feet, and they worshiped Him. Now, let's think about that. You could go down the street a little bit. There's a place called Chapel Hill. You've heard of it. There's a university there, and there's a professor that says what happened here was a grand hallucination. There's something that can happen. It's a rare phenomenon where someone can hallucinate, someone can develop psychosis, and the people around them develop psychosis as well. You know, I know something about psychosis. It's not that I've experienced it personally, but I have worked a little bit with some folks with psychosis. And one of the things that I did once, and did actually a couple of times with fellows that said things like, these walls are closing in on me. And I would say things like this. I want to encourage you, while we're waiting for this medication to take effect, I want to encourage you to put your hands against this wall. Put your hands against this. And usually we had cement walls. Put your hands against them and tell me what you feel. Now, there is something called tactile hallucinations, but most of them would say, I feel cement. And I want you to tell me, do walls made of cement move? Only in earthquakes. True. But we've not had an earthquake. So do you feel that cement? I feel that cement. And you know what? We call that grounding, where someone comes back and says, okay, the walls are not moving. I can feel them. And isn't it interesting that the Bible tells us they see Jesus? You could say they're seeing things that aren't there. They're hearing things that aren't there. But the Bible makes a note to tell you that they reached down and they touched His hands. And that's the Lord saying, it wasn't a hallucination, buddy. It was the real deal. Because when they touched His feet, it was a grounding of them that this is physical. This is skin. This man is here. He is truly alive. Now, you know some people didn't believe it. Scroll down and look at verse 10. It says, Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. So He says, you go and you tell people. But then you see verse 11. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city, and they told the chief priests and all the things that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers. And they said, tell people His disciples came by night and stole Him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him. You can't fall asleep as a Roman soldier and live. They take your life. So if they find out about this, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and they did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. I encourage you this morning. You have a few doubts. You wonder, could this really be true? I encourage you to go and look at the evidence. And I encourage you to think about it for a bit. These ladies died for their faith. John suffered terribly because of the things that he saw and how he told about what he saw. The 11 remaining disciples will die terrible deaths, telling people they saw a risen Savior. They didn't get any money. They didn't get any wealth. They didn't get any real fame out of what they did. They got a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. Go and examine the evidence. And it's really like you must suppress the truth if you don't, if you're not to accept it here, because it's here. It's pretty evident for all of us to see. What is it that the Lord wants us to do? Verse 16 says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And you know that from another passage, this is doubting Thomas. And what did he do? He went and he examined the side of the Lord. He said, if I do not see those nail-scarred hands, if I do not see where they put that spear in him, I will not believe. And so I encourage you this morning, if you struggle, to look, to search. If you seek the truth, you will find it as Thomas found it. And he will take you and he will change you. They saw him, verse 17, they worshiped him. Some doubted, but that was taken care of. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What did they do? They went. And what are we to do? We're to go and we're to tell. This morning, all across the world, there are Christians gathered remembering the day that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. What that is, that's evidence that ever since this particular event, one after another, after another, after another has gone and they have told of this truth. You have to make up stories. You have to suppress the truth to not believe it. Because the evidence is clear. It happened. And because it happened, you can have a different life in Christ. Some 2,000 years ago, there was truly a day. Oh, what a day that was. And because of that day, you can live in hope. Not some false hope that will vanish away, but real hope. You can have a real life in Jesus Christ. So yes, your health can be taken away. Yes, your job can be lost. Yes, the people that you love can be taken away from you. But you can have salvation in Jesus Christ, and you can have someone who will never leave you nor forsake you, because some 2,000 years ago he rose from the grave, and one day, if you placed your faith in him, he'll raise you. Father, we thank you for what we've seen this morning from this passage. We thank you for what happened some 2,000 years ago when you rose from the grave. Help us, Lord, to go and to tell and to be obedient to others as we share about you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Have you ever accepted Jesus as your Savior? If you have not, I ask you this morning, Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life. Lord, I commit to following you until the day I die. Never prayed a prayer like that? Pray it now. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you find yourself in discouragement. You find yourself struggling. I ask you to remind yourself, Jesus rose from the grave. And because of that, I can have a life that is oh so different in him. Ask him to help you. Ask him to remind you that he's with you every step of the way. Remember this wonderful day and what it can do for you in your life. I don't know what you need to pray, but pray it now there where you sit, or if you prefer, come to this altar and pray it here. Thank you. Amen. If you prayed a prayer of commitment, how about indicating that on your connection card? Give it to me as you're going out, or leave it on this table in the front. We'll be remembering you and praying for you. We want to encourage you to join us over in the